Good morning, all, and welcome. Beautiful November day. Anybody out there notice those beautiful trees celebrating the fall? And orange and red and yellow and beautiful, beautiful stuff. You know, it's that season. It is what it is. Who am I going to pick on? Stephanie was telling me that a couple years, you know, a few years ago when she was, you know, still in school, that she and a couple of her classmates were trick-or-treating, and they went out trick-or-treating. And there was one particular house that was the most scariest one of all, and they were all scared, and there were sounds coming from this house, and it was terrifying. But I mean, you got to screw up your courage, and everybody was, they were looking at each other, and they started up the sidewalk, and two of them just ducked and ran, but Stephanie says, I've got to go to the door. So she got to the door and knocked, and it opened, and then she began to smile and grin and everything. Well, it turns out it wasn't the ghosts or demons or anything. It used to be a chicken place, and so it was just a poultrygeist. Good morning and welcome for this beautiful morning. Couple of announcements. One is that our church conference is scheduled every year. We have a yearly conference where we elect the officers for the upcoming year, do any church business that happens annually. The district superintendent attends. We are doing that virtually as we have the last bunch of years, and that church conference is December 17th, 7 o'clock. It will be virtual via Zoom. We will send out links as we get closer. So, if you have any questions about that, don't hesitate to contact me or the chair of the Administrative Council, Mark, what have you. Debbie Gunther is just primed to stand up, Michael. If you would take a microphone over. Please, Debbie, tell us and fill us in.
Thank you. First off, thank you for everybody that went to Just Grill, because I got a check this week. He is always gives us over and above. Crop Walk got a check for $500 from him.
Wow.
So yeah, I'd support him anytime. It's Just Grill on Iliff and Buckley. Now,
thank you.
Being that the crop is over for our food drive for them, Aurora Interfaith is looking for Thanksgiving food, and I'll put the list out on in the narthex. But we're looking for stuffing mix, instant mashed potatoes, green beans, cream of mushroom soup, canned corn, cranberry sauce, and packets of gravy mix, boxed instant pudding. Anything you can bring in the next 3 or 4 weeks would be greatly appreciated. When I'm not here, Sandy Tinney will take it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. And I have not yet greeted our viewers online. We have a growing online community, and we are grateful for that and for their support and for their prayers, and we try and include them as much as we can. I sent out an email inviting people to the nominating committee, and we will meet this coming Tuesday at 7 p.m. virtually. If you are called to serve or to be in an office, if you're going off of a committee or going onto a committee, you may get a call. Please respond and say yes, and that our nominating committee members can't make a full roster of people who help do the will and the work of the church, Christ through the church. Other announcements, other things that we need to get out in front of everyone this morning. I can't think of anything else. I think we are ready to begin. Diana Hunt has something, please.
Hey everyone, I don't know if you realize this, but this is Pastor Appreciation Day, and our month, I should say. And we've been very negligent this last few months, years, so we want to do something special for the pastor today. There's a whole bunch of homemade zucchini bread, apple, cranberry, apple, blueberry, banana, strawberry, really yummy. Trust me, I've tried lots of it. But if you would go to the coffee hour afterwards, you can have that to share with us. I think Sandy wants to come up to see the pastor, and I guess Holly was going to, but I guess I will.
When you began this announcement, I thought you said it was pasta appreciation. And I was going to say, yes, I love my pasta too, but thank you. Pastor appreciation.
Yeah.
This isn't a summons, is it?
No.
Sort of.
As president of the Women's Society, we would like to give our pastor this card. We have more cards, but there's also a gift inside. I'm going to read my thought for Peter. Peter, give up the fist shake. Hugs are back in style.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
We'll also have a presentation from Rich from the Men's Club, but he's not here now, so we'll put it on hold maybe to the coffee hour. But this is mostly from the congregation to the pastor in appreciation for everything he has done.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, you managed to surprise me. How nice, how lovely. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And now you've put me all off stride. I don't know what happens next. Larry Contour could not be here this morning, and we knew that in advance. He warned me when he accepted the job as liturgist. So Mark Doctor is here to lead us if we are ready. Any other announcements? Anything else for the good of the order? We are here. We are ready to begin. Let's stand, wave hello to one another, and let us turn to our call to worship.
Good morning. Please join me in the call of worship. Lord, thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you and for this time with you. Thank you for this place to gather and the freedom to be here. Thank you for the prosperity we find in our lives, especially the joy of being in your presence. Lord, you are indeed an awesome God. And when we come here singing and praying, and thanks to you. Praise God. Amen. 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 So remain standing. Turn to your faith, we sing, which is the last song of the book, 2284. And we will sing Joy in the Morning. I'm here. There be joy in the morning on that day. There be joy in the morning on that day. For the daylight will dawn when the darkness is gone. There be joy in the morning on that day. There be peace and contentment evermore. Forgiveness everywhere. Please. be seated. Don't worry, I'm not here all morning. So our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalms 126, verses 1 through 6. Hear these words. When the Lord restored the fortune of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoice. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the night day. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seeds for sorrow, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
By way of concerns, on the back of the bulletin, you see some of the current concerns of our body and some of the prayers that are ongoing. I wanted to lift all of those and ask you if you have any information to update us on any of those. We had Sydney Weller with us in worship last week, and she is moving back into our area. We're pretty excited about that. I have not heard any word on Renee Verone. Does anybody have any latest on how she's doing? I know that she has had a rough time after a car accident that was, and she was not diagnosed with as serious of injuries as she had. Prayers for peace. I am worried a little bit as I watch the news that Israel is now firing into Iran with missiles. That seems like an escalation to me, and I am concerned. One would hope that things in the Middle East were simmering down, not simmering up. So prayers there, prayers and prayers and prayers. I want to share, Stephanie had to put down one of her doggies, Lexi, this last week. And so as a member of the family, and it is hard, and we pause and acknowledge that loss with you. I want to know if there are other concerns that we have this morning. Other things that we need to share with the congregation that you need to lift in thought and prayer. All right, Helen, please, I'm sorry. Helen, sometimes I'm getting old and a little bit, you got to really, you know.
I just got an email from my cousin Jim this morning. He's had a lot of health problems, and he's had to be admitted to a care center.
And his name is Tim?
Jim. Jay.
Okay, Jim. Prayers for your cousin Jim. Thank you. Thank you for that. I don't want to cut us off. Any others that we need to be aware of? I have been in the pulpit 30 years. I've tried to maintain neutrality at all times and all places, but sometimes in life there are things that are important enough that even around controversial subjects, I have to speak out. My conscience will not allow me to not say what needs to be said, to confront untruths and distortions and misconcepts, and to really bring us back to our truth and life through Christianity and through Jesus Christ. So I am taking a stand. I know it's controversial this morning, but pumpkins are a fruit, not a vegetable. We can have discussions for those of you that feel strongly about that. I will be available in the fellowship hall following. I hope that wasn't, I didn't warn you that you'd be here right in the middle of that. By way of celebrations, we've got a handful of things going on. Caleb Armstrong. Tuesday, is that right, Holly? And how old is he going to be? 7? Are they having a big party and a big do for him?
Probably.
Okay.
I'm going to be out of town this week. So. But yes, he's getting a new bike, which is a big excitement.
So. He'll be 7. And on Tuesday also, Diana Hunt is going to be 7. Is that true, Lady Diana? Happy birthday to you two. Mark, Ellen Smith, doctor, did you know that your husband Mark is having a birthday on Thursday?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
He wants a camera.
Pardon me?
He wants a camera.
He wants a camera.
Yes.
Is that something we should be pursuing somehow, or I don't know the protocol? All right, you pass that around. Happy birthday to you. Okay, a nice camera, I see. Have you
those
seen
nice
that the Instamatic, the throwaway cheapos are coming back? I don't really know all of what that's about, but probably just really good marketing. Those are interesting little devices, so it is what it is. Other celebrations for the good of the order, other things that we need to be aware of there on this day. I can't think of any others that are impinging upon me, except for a beautiful celebration of the fall and the trees and the colors are just heartwarming. And that's good because this week we're going to get snow. So, you know, it is Colorado. Amen? Any other prayer items? If not, let's turn to our unison prayer and let us read responsively. Lord God, hear our prayers. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silence and preparation for prayer. Lord God, thank you for the very life that you have given us, for the light, for the sunshine, for the day, for your presence with us even in the darkest moments, and for your joy even amidst the deepest sorrows, for your guidance amidst the most dangerous of escalations, for being with those afflicted in the midst of disasters or wars. Lord, we lift prayers. We lift our prayers and pray that you will guide and inform us if there are ways that we can do more than pray. You see our prosperity and help us remember that out of our prosperity, we need to be giving people. We need to be those who pull up those who are afflicted, who are less fortunate, that it is in compassion where we see Christ the strongest. Lord, as we come before you, we have individual prayers and requests. You hear the thoughts of our hearts, the meditations of our minds. You hear us in the still, dark moments of the night. You hear us amidst celebrations. Help us focus and hear you speaking to us. Help us hear your words of balm and of clarity, of reassurance, and of confidence. Lord God, we come before you. We come before you and we beseech you, bless us as is your way in so many things, and to help us be aware of those blessings, to give thanks always, and to gather with all of our brothers and sisters, even if there are divisions, even if there are those who disagree with us, even if there are those who have even stood against us, that we might unify one and all in your loving name. In the name of Christ who gathered us and brought us. Hear us, Lord, as we gather with people around the nations and different cultures and languages. Hear us in the Lord's Prayer saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation during Colleen's offertory.
Thank you, Colleen. If you're able, let's stand for the gospel lesson, which comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. They came to Jericho as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, my teacher, let me see again. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of the Lord. So if you remain standing, we'll have a little participation in the Vacation Bible School video.
Morning aerobics. All right. Thank you, ladies.
Time for a look at the
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, thank you. Whew, a little bit of aerobics. You know why I put that in the bulletin right before? It's to get you all a little bit, you know, wake you up and get your blood flowing so you don't fall asleep during the sermon. It's kind of an important thing for me. So, are you ready? Are you prepared? Have you girded your loins? Have you steeled yourselves for what's coming? An evening of ghosts and goblins, of things running amok and creating havoc and fear. Well, that time when all things, the things that go bump in the night, are freed and released. For me, it's the challenge of anyone who comes to my door that I should know and don't recognize them because they're in costume. The little kids take that seriously. And sometimes, if they're in good costumes, I have no idea who they are. So it's a little bit of anxiety on my part, but they will come to our doors and they will demand tribute. They will threaten us. They will threaten us with a trick if we do not succumb to their demands. I don't know that this is legal. I'm just not sure about it. It's an odd occasion, and it fascinates me how many houses are decorated probably more than Christmas. I mean, it's just amazing. Have you seen some of the home decorations? I should hush some of you. How many of you do wild and exorbitant Halloween decorations? In the midst of that, remember that it is the eve. It is the hallowed eve of All Saints' Day. And so the next day, the triumph of the saints will come. Good will triumph over evil, as it always does. Light will overcome darkness. And unless you've been toilet papered, you're probably going to be okay. So it is there. Turn our eyes. I asked Stephanie. She always helps pick out the. She always picks out the VBS song, and when I can manage to follow her, as sometimes I get off track. But here we are about following. With our eyes, blind Bartimaeus. Thank you, Mark, for stepping up and reading that without any warning, but we don't know a lot about him. He was the son of Timaeus. He's a beggar. He's blind. And he's probably been there for a long time. He's probably one of those fixtures, you know. They're always there. They're always, you know them. You see them repeatedly. You get to the point where you just ignore it all. It's one of those things. It's like my house. There are things that have been sitting on that, and they're so covered with dust that they've been sitting there since right before the Eisenhower administration. And I just ignore them because they've always been there, and it's just normal to see them there. But here is this blind beggar, and he calls out to Jesus, and he uses a phrase. He says, "Son of David." This is odd for Mark. Mark doesn't go there with that at any place in his gospel. He doesn't reflect that. As we spoke last week, Mark has a relatively low Christology. He doesn't see Jesus as being divine yet. He is still completely, fully human, which is important to us because he knows us and he knows our journey. But at any rate, this Bartimaeus calls him the son of David. It may have been an exact quote from what the disciples remember that event being. And he's shouting at Jesus, and the crowd's saying, "Hush, hush. Come on, this is a dignitary. This is a special person. This is a famous person. Don't ruin the moment. This is wonderful." Jesus stops. Jesus stops and he walks over to him, and he pauses. And he says, "What do you want?" Now, Bartimaeus must have had sight at some point in his life because he says, "Let me see again." So he must have had sight and lost it in some way or other. And he wants to be restored, and he knows what he's seeking, and he's seeking Jesus for that guidance. He seeks Jesus' help. And Jesus says, "Go, your faith has made you well. By turning to and believing and following Jesus, he regains sight. That's true on different levels. Think about that a minute. And think about that and realize that and understand what's going on there. Your faith has made you well. So this is a delightful miracle. It is one which there were a lot of miracles going on in that day and age. There were miracle doers. Some of them are fakers. Some of them are different things. And everyone who was supposed to be a leader teacher had to be able to do miracles. And so here, this healing miracle. But there's more to it. And not only is it a healing of the blindness of this beggar 2,000 years ago, but is it not speaking to us? Have we grown blind? Do we have blinders on? Do we ignore and not see things around us? One would think things would be obvious, yet are there things that we ignore, that we just don't pay attention to anymore, that are just, they're always that way, they're always going to be that way? I fear that with the Middle East. The Middle East has been at war through all of our history, virtually. And we might say, it's always going to be that way. There's nothing to be done about it. It's just another set of battles centered around the Middle East. And that's a dangerous place to be, because we are called to open our eyes and be aware. What can we do? I don't know. I don't have that answer except through prayer and turning back to Jesus. Do we have issues around poverty and the poor versus the wealthy? I think sometimes people just get to a point of saying, well, there's some people, and they're always going to be that way. And they make choices in their lives that keep them that way. And what can I do about it? What can I do, one single person, just me? And it reminds me of the little bird. You recall that? There was a little bird, a man was walking along, and he sees the sparrow laying in the path on his back with its feet sticking up. And he says, what are you doing? He says, the sky is falling, and I need to, and he says, what? Those little sparrow legs, what are they going to do? And the sparrow says, one does what one can. There is wisdom in that. It isn't much, but get a million sparrows. Do we have blinders around the issues of hospitality? The Bible is full of issues of hospitality. My favorite is Abram and Sarai. You remember, they get very old. They have no children. It's one of those tales. They're just feeling destitute, and there's no more hope left, and they're old. They're old, and they have no children. And they see some men coming down the path, and Abram runs to them and offers them hospitality, because he knows that's what God calls us to, hospitality. And of course, you know that they became Abraham and Sarah and the fathers of and mother of nations. The Good Samaritan, there's a man who's been beaten up, laying naked in the ditch. And they walk around him, partly because they are called not to approach a dead body, partly because they're called not to be around naked bodies. That's what the laws expressly say. But this Samaritan, this foreigner, comes along and cares for the man. Hospitality, care. Where are we in that journey today? And how is hospitality, care for the sojourners, care for those others? Do we want to keep our blinders on? In some respects, very much. It's uncomfortable to have to face some of these things. It's not something we want to spend our time contemplating, and maybe we could just let the invisible ones remain the invisible ones. And the invisible ones will be the ghosts that come on Halloween. Other than that, we do not have those we can ignore. Now, in our day and age, we have a nation of safety nets. We have we have systems and institutions and different things and resources for people in need. And there are a lot of them. City of Aurora has programs that, and they encourage people not to give to corner panhandlers because they say, we have resources for these people, but it's easier for them to do this and not confront some of their own issues, their own greed, their own lack of awareness. We need to be aware of how that happens and what the right thing is to do to help some of these. It wasn't always the case. This is a change that has come about. This is one of those Christian things, one of the ways that Christ has changed the world. In Jesus' time, if somebody was unfortunate, well, that was just too bad and good luck. God must have made it that way because you were bad and we're not going to intervene, and we have no responsibility or obligation to care for anyone else. I know a family, they had a grown son, good family, and this young son had showed up out of the blue. He is an adult, and I didn't know much of his story, but he was around for a while. He was a painter. And he helped do some painting at the church. Man, it was wonderful. He did a good job. He was conscientious and thorough, caulked and cleaned and scraped and painted and did some work that really needed to be done. And I thought, man, we were lucky to have him. And we tried to reimburse him, and we reimbursed him a little bit, but he wouldn't take much. But the painting got all done, and a couple weeks went by. I hadn't seen him, and I asked his parents, and they said, no, he's gone. He's moved back to Denver, and he's living back on the streets again. They said he doesn't have to. We can set him up. He's making good progress. We could get him started with all kinds of things. They were willing to support him, but he preferred to be in that situation and to live with those people, and he knew some of them. They had developed community, I guess. And it was a lifestyle and a freedom from responsibility. And some of that had to do with drugs and alcohol and who knows what else. And so he made a choice. Okay, I understand that. And he can choose that, but I don't choose to support him in doing that. Is that not Christian? I don't know. Or is that tough love to say, no, wait a minute. God will decide. We'll see. I was just last summer, not this summer, but the summer before, I was walking up to the door at Lowe's, a hardware store. You know Lowe's. And I'm walking up, and this fellow walked up, and he was, looked like he was pretty straightforward. He was wearing a lanyard. And there were some keys on it, and there was a picture ID on it, with his picture on it. He says, hi. He says, I hate to bother you. He says, but I'm a teacher from Grand Junction, and there were several of us that came over for a conference, and we got mugged, and they took away all of our money, and we're basically stranded. We just need bus fare to get back to Grand Junction, and I'm wondering if you could help us out. Well, I'm from Grand Junction. So I begin to have a conversation with him. Oh, what school? Oh, well, he knew which school. Who's the principal there nowadays? Oh, that's such and such. So you were there right next to, what's the name of that mortuary? You're right behind that. Oh, yeah, Martin's mortuary. Yeah, okay. Picture on his lanyard was him. I thought, it's an odd thing to happen, but I said, all right. So I helped him out. I thought, how odd, but that's the way. About a week later, different fella, dressed fine, lanyard, picture ID. It was a scam. It was a sophisticated scam. They had learned the details in case they ran across somebody like me who knew and could check them out. And he went into a spiel and got to a certain point, and I said, you were a different guy last week. And he kind of looked, and his eyes went back and forth like this, and he kind of turned and he just kind of walked away. I was glad that I caught on to that particular scam. And if that comes around to you, you might be aware that this is an organized way of making some serious money and of going about that. It's easy to become cynical. It's easy to say, they're all got a system. They're all in this game. It's a con, and I'm not going to enable them. I'm not going to help them with this dysfunction. So Melissa and I were at Safeway Mondays after lunch, Safeway, every week. Right, Melissa? That's right. She will be ready with her shopping list. It's on this map. It's on the schedule. Mondays we go. So we drive up, and as we're walking up the door, a woman comes up, and she's got several kids in tow. And she says, could you help me? She says, I need money for groceries. And I looked at her and the kids, and I don't know why, but I said, yes. And I opened my wallet, and I think all I had was a 20, and I handed her the 20, and she was a little bit startled. I think she was expecting a dollar, and maybe at max a five. But she said, thank you. And I said, good luck. And I walked in the store, and she followed me in with her kids, and they filled up a cart with staples, the food to feed a family. Thank God that somehow I knew that this was authentic. And to be honest with you, it would be better at all times and places if we err on the side of getting conned rather than not caring. Doesn't mean we should give away to somebody who we know is not legitimate. But let us not put blinders on that prevent us from seeing authentic need. Amen? I'm grateful I was able to discern, and I don't know what, at that moment, why somehow I just saw that that was what was happening. God is good. I think it's just an awesome thing. So how do we regain our sight to meet authentic need? I try and give to organizations that I know are authentic. People will call me and say, will you give to the XYZ project to help the people of North Carolina, and I'll say, I give to UM Corps. I know UM Corps. I am UM Corps. I've been administrator in the midst of a disaster. I know how that works, and I know it's legitimate. So I don't want to support some of these scams, and I do want the money to get where it needs to go. And yet sometimes the need comes, and it's outside of what we might give through our denominational giving or something. And I don't want to be numb to that. One of the other worries about putting blinders on is disaster fatigue. Have you heard about that? How often do we come into church and there's another disaster that's happened, and I'm asking for prayers and support, and you know, if you can, put something in the plate for UM Corps to help. And it seems like it's every week, doesn't it? And we get tired, we get worn down, and at some point we just say, it's another one. It's another something, it's another need. And I'm just not inspired to be very helpful. Step one, Bartimaeus knew he was blind. He knew he was blind, and he turned to Jesus, I want to see again. So that's where we need to be. Are we blind to any other needs? Lord, open my eyes that I may see. Stephanie, you nailed it with that song. Isn't that what they were singing? Open my eyes that I may see. Open our ears and open our hearts and open our wallets. Amen? All right, enough. Shall we do something else? Let's see. Holly, you get up here this time. You got out of the last one. You panned it off on Mark, but get up here and lead us in our song. Stand if you are able. Open my eyes that I may see. Stand with Holly if you are able and comfortable.
Open my eyes. eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Places in hands the wonderful key that shall unclean and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on here, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me hear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Well, that's our prayer for the morning. If you see ghosties and you come on, recognize them, or things are dim in the fear in the evenings and the night, we turn to God and say, let us see. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, open our eyes, guide us, inspire us. Amen?
Amen.
Let's join hands and sing our closing. People said,
amen. Amen.